Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Brandon, thank you for doing this. And the first thing, I guess, in a broader sense is how's it going there? You've gotten this started. As best you can, walk us through some of the details of what's happening there internally with the procedures. And then the second part is, with Stars opt-out, do you anticipate or do you know of any other players who either have done so and we haven't heard yet, or you are leaning to think that there might be more from your team?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I'll answer your second question first. EJ Gaines is going to opt out as well. So we received that news, yesterday afternoon and, got his letter. So that'll go on the wire today, as EJ opting out. He has some family things as well, which, you know, we totally respect and understand. Your first question. Yeah. You know, Vic, every day is a new day. You know, we all here get tested. If you're in tier one or tier two, we're in a everyday cycle. So, you know, every morning, Sean and I are getting an update from Nate Bresky. You know, he gets the results of if anyone tested positive the day before. And, you know, we had, you know, a couple back-to-back days, you know, that whole thing that got put out in the media the other day of we had two and then we had two more, and we just, you know, something like that. We were just trying to be smart and make sure we had our arms around it. This is something that we're learning every day as you see across the country, and we're no different. And we're just trying to keep it. If there is someone in the building or someone that's been around others on our team, players, coaches, staff, that we're smart about it. And, you know, so there may be more days where we say, hey, we got a couple guys, two or three guys popped up. They've been around, you know, another 15, 20 guys. Let's just send everybody home, let another round of tests come in and make sure we're good, because it's we're trying to take the long view, similar to how we're trying to build this team. We're not, you know, as much as we want to be out there every day, we'd rather lose one day or 2 days than lose 10 to 14, you know, half our team or anything like that.
And Brandon, just a quick follow-up. The words difficult, challenging are givens with all of this for all of us, but specifically to your team and to this point of what you've been trying to manage with people in the building. And by the way, if you can give us a count of how many players and such are there, along with this answer, what is it just like dealing with this unprecedented situation for you and the organization? What, just that part of it, what's it been like?
Yeah, you know, first off, there's been a lot of people to help us, you know, that we had that infectious disease emergency response plan, the EIDR plan that, you know, we had to get approved by the league and then by the PA. There was a lot of people that put a lot of time and effort in this building to make it as safe as possible. We don't have a bubble, you know, we don't have that concept, but we're trying to make it really, really hard to catch it in here and or spread it in here. And, you know, everyone, obviously I don't have my mask on for this interview, but I got my mask right here at my side. I was masked until I sat in this chair to do this interview. And so that's, you know, everyone's responsibility is to police this thing. And we have contact tracers on, we get a little, it'll turn red if I'm within 6 feet of someone to let me know you're too close. And we're asking each other to hold each other accountable. And that's me included. If I screw up and get too close and talking to Sean about something, somebody should yell at us. And we've put people in place, different positions to kind of inspect, whether it's on the practice field, in the weight room. We're trying to do our best with it, Vic. It's, you know, it's also a huge responsibility. You know, we all, whether it's a coach or a staff member that's of age or has a pre-existing condition, we do have some people in this building that probably wouldn't handle the virus as well as some of us, you know, others. And, you know, that's a huge weight on me, on Sean, and Nate Bresky and the others that are part of this team. And that's the biggest thing. We want to win here. There's no doubt. You know how competitive we are. We want to do everything. But the first goal to winning is keeping everyone here safe and healthy and their families, because people are going back home. And the last thing I would want to hear, you know, see, and I know Sean would echo this when he gets on here, is that someone got it here and took it home and gave it to a wife, a kid, a grandparent, whoever. And so that's probably the biggest stress I have right now. We lost John Feliciano the other day, which was no fun. But to be honest with you, right now it's our focus is on keeping this place safe and keeping everyone that works here, player, coach, staff, whoever, cooking staff, whoever's here, we want them to stay safe.
Thank you, Brandon.
Hi, Brandon. Sal Capaccio, WGR. Good to see you.
What's up, Sal?
Hey, just to follow up on Vic's second question, if you could just tell us if you know of anybody, if you can tell us if anybody hasn't reported. But also, I'd like to ask you about from a personnel standpoint, like what are the challenges you're going to face having enough players available, working guys out, but also bringing them to Buffalo and knowing the situation we're in, but also having guys on the ready. You know, we hear about workouts happening. You know, at any moment, someone could go obviously on the COVID list. So you're going to have to kind of mix and match. What are the challenges that you and your personnel staff have to kind of get around all of that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's probably a little bit of a frustrating part, is it's very hard. The rules are tight. We're down to 80. In a different way, because we have guys on the COVID list and such. So technically we are down to 80, even though we didn't cut a bunch of people to get there. It's just, we got a few guys on the COVID list, and then we got these opt-outs, you know, which has put us down to that number. So the rule in place, Sal, is that, you know, normally, let's say we lost John Feliciano, which we talked about, normally any other year, I'd bring in 2-3 linemen to work out and see who's in the best shape, who fits what we're looking for, who can pass a physical. Well, the current rules state that I can't bring anyone in if we don't have a roster spot. So if we're at 80, I have to get to 79 just to bring a player in to visit. Wow. And when I say visit, they can't come in the facility. They have to have a negative test before we can physical them, and that physical is outside our building. And so I can't bring 3 linemen in. I could bring 1 in if I get to 79. So it's very hard. I understand the reason for the rules. They're trying to limit travel and the spread of this across our country. But it makes it very hard. The other part of that is it's basically 5 days. You know, I know one of you guys put out about a couple players that were in town. Well, those guys are still going through the process of testing. We got to get negative tests multiple days, get them a physical, and then get them signed. And we're in the middle of that. But even when we get them signed, they're still going to be days from coming in our building just through this protocol. It's about a 5-day process from them getting to Buffalo before we can get them into our facility.
Have all 80 reported, Brandon, if you could tell us?
Yeah, everyone's reported.
Okay, yep. Thank you. Yep.
Hey, Brandon, John Scott, how you doing?
Good, John, how you doing?
Can't complain. Going back to responsibilities, and this really seems to be on the players and everyone individually, we've seen Major League Baseball have spikes. They're the other professional sports that is not in a bubble. How have you gotten the message across to everyone, but specifically players, to have the freedom of not being in a bubble, but understanding what potentially could come of that freedom?
Yeah, I mean, I think we stress, and, you know, we had a team meeting the other day, and I think Sean did a great job on that meeting. He wore a mask for the whole meeting, and that's not going to be norm if he's in his own office, you know, separate. But just to get the point across of how to wear the mask and how it's going to be worn in our building and the expectation, and we have to hold each other to a high standard. We talk about playoff caliber around here and things like that, and this is – super important, because this is talking about people's health, and the last thing we want to do is someone be careless. And that's any player, any coach, any staff. It's on us all to do this, and it's not just to do it for the first week or the first month. We're going to have to be prudent, because again, we can't get to the season. Let's say we do a great job through camp and we get our roster ready. We all know this virus can spread easily. And so one person, two people let their guard down, like we've seen in some of these other sports, it can spread like wildfire and could really damage, you know, our season or another team's season. And that's the last thing we want. So we're all learning. We're trying to teach each other. And it's like anything. Some guys are probably very sensitive to it and being really guarded, and some guys are probably a little bit looser with it, and we're just trying to get everybody on the same page, you know, as we get everybody in here. But our, other than physicals, you know, our veterans, which started yesterday, that was the first day they were in the building. So they're now getting the lay of the land and understanding this place looks different than it did when they left here last January.
Did you guys implement, just team-wise, any extra guidelines for how these guys should operate, even especially outside the building?
You know, we just ask people to be smart, you know, contactless delivery if you're getting food, be careful who you're around. And we had meetings with everyone's family, you know, that could be on these calls. We've had three of them, and that's staff and players and coaches, where Sean and I and then Nate Bresky and our team doctor showed some slides and just trying to spread the word that it's not only on the person in the house that works for the Bills, it's on everyone in the house to be smart and to communicate. And listen, if you realize you've been around someone who tested positive for it, communicate it to us. Even if you're around them for 3 minutes, you know, we may hold that staff member or that player out of the building for a couple of days just to be smart. Kind of what I said to Vic earlier, we'd rather give up 2 days with someone than, you know, 10 to 14 days.
Thanks.
Hey, Brandon, Josh Reed. Hope you're doing well.
You too, Josh.
Since last time we talked to you, all the preseason games were canceled. What's the biggest hurdle you have to overcome when it comes to, you know, just going straight into a regular season?
Yeah, that's a challenge I've never been around either. It's like every day there's a new challenge. And obviously when those games got canceled, Josh, that's frustrating for me. I know it's frustrating for some of our players. I talked to a few of them that looking for that chance to prove their worth to either make this roster or to, you know, to win a starting spot, you know, or a special team spot, whatever it is. So, you know, Sean and I've talked about it, and I think Sean's got some great ideas of, we got to come up with various ways to create competition and some situations in games, high impact, high pressure moments, the best we can make them here. You know, now we're not in pads yet or anything like that. We're still, you know, a little over 2 weeks away. But as we get closer to that first game, we are going to have to try and, you know, and when we have to cut this roster down, we're going to have to come up with as many ways to simulate preseason games and, whether it's seeing how many snaps they played last year in preseason versus some live snaps we have, you know, in practice, or any types of inter-squad scrimmages we may do. Now, again, we got to plan this out, and we got to be safe and healthy, and we can't decimate our roster trying to evaluate it. So there is a fine line, but we do have to get ourselves ready for that, you know, that week one game against the Jets, and be ready for them. But we also have to evaluate and make sure we're keeping the best 53 players.
Just a quick little follow up. You know, in particular, the kicking game, you draft a guy like Tyler Bass to compete with Steven Hauschka. There's no you know, replacing live bullets, if you will, of the preseason, you know, having a kicker get out there and actually kick in front of fans with a game on the line potentially. How does that impact a rookie like Tyler Bass and some of the other rookies looking to make an impact?
Yeah, that's where we got to get creative. And that same motto that we had in the spring is translating here, find a way. We got to find a way and use different scenarios. You know, whether it's, hey, kicker makes this long kick, we cut off 20 minutes of meetings, or we go no pads tomorrow, you know, whatever it is. And I think Sean will do a great job. He's got some good ideas. We've bounced some things off, but that's the, what we have to do to put these guys, whether it's a quarterback, a receiver, a kicker, as you mentioned, whatever position it is, we got to do our best. We got to come up with the best ways and strategies we can to put these guys in, you know, as high pressure a situation as we can. Obviously, we don't have the game setting to do that.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, good seeing you, Josh.
Hi, Brandon. Matt Fairburn here. Hope you and your family are doing well.
Thanks, you too, Matt.
I'm curious, you know, some of you've already brought up how different things are, all the challenges, the stress of, you know, whether your players and their families are healthy. I'm curious how everything going on has adjusted your expectations for this season, whether it's for your team as a whole, Josh, your offense, just how you've been dealing with all that and kind of, you know, contextualizing this season in your mind.
Yeah, I mean, our expectations are always high, and our expectations are high as we learn how to handle this virus and how to operate. And this is going to be a different camp, a camp like no other. I mean, I'm usually in a dorm room right now, but instead, you know, having camp at home and trying to adjust to that. And but I think at the end of the day, we have to still hold ourselves to a high standard. And Sean and I aren't going to sit here and say, oh, it was the COVID year. We didn't make the playoffs, so be it. Like, nothing's changed here. We expect playoff caliber practices once we get to that point. And it's our job to get this roster ready to go when we open up here against the Jets, you know, in whatever it is, 5 weeks or so. So, no, I mean, I hear you. I respect the question, Matt, but nothing's changing there. And that's why the pressure is on us all to stay healthy and to do things right so that we can have the best 53 guys out there and not have 10 guys on the COVID list, you know, come mid-September. And it won't be easy, but we got to be prudent. And again, if we do that, we'll find a way, you know, to be ready to roll when this season gets rolling.
When you see what happened in, like, baseball in particular and other sports, can you even allow it to enter your brain of, like, worrying about, you know, whether you guys are going to get 16 games in or anything like that?
No, I mean, I think right now it's day by day. It really is. Let's just worry about doing the best we can today. I mean, honestly, I know usually you can kind of see by now, you can see that first preseason game. You can see when you're cutting your roster down. You can see, you know, what things are going to start to look like for that first game. But that first game, even though it is whatever, 5 weeks off, seems like 6 months away right now, just because it's, like I said, every day kind of wake up and check with Nate Bresky and see, does anybody positive? Is, you know, what does it look like with the contact tracing? Do we need to have someone else sit out today just to make sure they're safe? So those are the daily things we're doing. And then once we figure out who we're going to have in the building that day, how are we going to make the most of it in the weight room, on the field, meeting rooms, et cetera. So No, I mean, our standard is right where it's always been here, and we expect to be ready to roll when they kick it off.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, Brandon, Chris Brown, thanks again for the time. Just with respect to the new practice squad rules, I know they're expanded to 16, and I've seen that there are protections that you can enact for four of those players so they can't be poached off your roster by another club. Can you just kind of lay out for us, Brandon, whether or not that is a group of four that can change week to week, or if it's set? I'm assuming because of the potential of COVID changing your roster dramatically, you can kind of pick a different four week to week, or is it set?
Yeah, you can change it. Those four protected players is done on Tuesdays at 4 o'clock each week.
Okay.
So it'll be kind of free access to poach prior to Tuesday at four, you know, after games are played. You know, your entire 16 would be able to be poached. And then okay. on Tuesdays at four, we'll be able to designate four guys that we have for the week. And that can change each week. Is a new four list. I mean, it could be the same, but you could theoretically protect the same two guys all year if you want to. It's just a weekly designation we'll send in of these four guys are protected for this week.
But each week there's going to be that 48-hour window between Monday and Tuesday where anybody's free to get claimed?
Yep. Yep. Okay. Yep. So, all right. But they would have to – here's the thing that makes it tricky doing that. If we went to go get someone off a practice squad, as the rules are right now, obviously things can change, but
right.
That's going to be a 5-day entry to get them in our building. So, you know, you claim a guy on Monday, he's mostly going to be virtual meeting with you until the end of the week. So he may not have a live practice with your team that week. Just as it stands now, just to get them in the building, it's like a re-entry, whether it's a free agent, whatever. It's that test day one, test day two, off day three, test day four. So all those are going to have to be negative tests before they can enter our facility.
Even if that player has been negative in for another club. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes it really tough.
Thanks.
No problem.
Hey, Brandon, Heather Prusak here. Hope you're doing well. Good to see you.
You too.
What has it been like from the mental side of things for you? I mean, just, you know, you talk about getting up every day and not knowing who you're going to have in the building, what players are going to be available, you know, checking the tests and seeing who could possibly test positive. I mean, just like mentally, how much is that taking a toll on you, just not knowing every day getting up who you're going to have available that day?
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Some days I wake up wide awake and some days you're fatigued from the day before, but it is what it is. You know, I'm a positive person and I don't let it really try and weigh me down. I'm really just trying to take it day, but I'm trying to learn every day, honestly, what we can do better and talking to our, you know, our medical staff and talking to the coaches and, you know, I hopefully in 2 weeks from now, we're doing it even better than we're doing it, than we are today. Cause you know, starting tomorrow, we are going to have, you know, up to 80 players in our facility. So it's going to be more people around, more people that could enter those close contact areas of, you know, within 6 feet and things like that. So we're going to have to step our game up even more, starting tomorrow when everyone's in here, but, it is what it is. I just kind of taking it day by day, Heather, and don't let it get me down. And I think Sean's doing a great job as well.
And when it comes to talking about the competition and not having preseason games and wanting to keep the best 53 guys, you know, how do you balance, you know, keeping the best 53 guys, but then also having to be like, well, we need to make sure we have, you know, depth at certain positions. And if guys, you know, do test positive, I mean, just how challenging is it when you're having to balance so many different things when it comes to deciding who you're going to keep?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, we've been talking about before, you know, when they changed the rule where we had to go from 90 to 80, you know, how we were going to get to 80. And, well, man, we're not even going to be able to see this guy in a helmet, you know, if it was an undrafted rookie or whatever. And I know we released a couple players, but, you know, we were trying to figure all that out, and we're not even at 80. I mean, we're barely at 80 right now because we got some guys on the COVID list. We got these guys opting out. And that's the thing. Some players can still opt out. So trying to get a balance of who could still choose, you know, to take that path. And again, to replace them, it's 5 days to get a guy in here. So those will be definitely more conversations when we get, you know, down to the 53, who's currently got COVID, who is injured, how long is their injury. It's just, it seems so far away to that point, as I said earlier, because we're just trying to take this hour by hour, day by day. But it definitely, a lot will go into that more than we've ever had to think about before. Because again, if even when the waiver wire comes out, we're playing week one, the Jets, okay, maybe a guy we would have claimed before, do we want to claim him knowing by the time we get him here, if we need him that week, we're probably not even going to have a practice with him before he would step on the field. So a lot of things that we'll have to weigh before we make a decision to bring someone from the outside once the season gets rolling.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yep, you too.
Hey, Brandon, Matt Perino, Syracuse.com. How are you?
Good, Matt. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for taking the time today. You mentioned that the start, you know, what a blow it was losing John Feliciano. Can you talk about, you know, what that's like? I know Sean has talked about, you know, his leadership and what he's brought into the room, especially during the virtual offseason. And the second part of the question is, now with him out of the mix, a guy who started 16 games last year, who do you kind of see in the mix for that competition at the right guard spot?
Yeah, I mean, John, he brings an edge. He brings an energy. You see his passion on the field. You know, we even have to get on to John sometimes because it, I think it spilled over a couple times where he got a, you know, 15-yard flag. But you live with those with a guy like John. And I think they play different positions, but I think him and Josh Allen are wired the same. You know, they're fired up. They play every play like it's their last. So replacing that energy that he brings and that leadership and that he fits, you know, what we look out of our O-linemen, smart, tough, dependable guys. And so that's not easy. That's a blow. We feel bad for John. I feel bad for him. And cause he worked so hard coming off the shoulder. I mean, he was ahead of schedule the whole off season, even though he wasn't able to be in here the whole time. And just really proud of his effort and just a freak deal that happened. But we do have some other guys. We tried to build as much depth as we could, Matt. And, you know, Darrell Williams, Evan Bame, Ike Bodiger, Spencer Long, you know, those guys. Cody Ford could slide in there and put Ty Nesecki at tackle. Ty's even played guard. So there's a lot of combinations we can do, a long way to go before it's settled of how that would play out. Right guard, right tackle. I mean, I think Cody will be in the mix of one of those, but just have to see where it fits best. Are we better with someone else at right tackle and sliding Cody in, or are we better leaving Cody at right and someone else winning that job?
Thanks, Brandon.
You got it.
Hey, Brandon, it's Marcel from ESPN. Good morning. Thanks for
– How you doing, Marcel?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I know you touched on this a little bit before, but I guess where is the difficulty and how much control does the team have over what players can do outside of the facility? Like if it's tricky or if it's, you know, they're restricted from coming in the facility, what is stopping them from gathering outside or training and practicing together outside of it?
Yeah, there's nothing that's stopping them. I mean, we can't have a, you know, police officer or anything outside each person's house, you know, as much as we'd love to do that, not only with our players, but staff, all of us, you know, it gets hard to, you know, nobody wants to sit in an apartment or a hotel room all the time, but this is the year that we've got to do whatever it takes and we got to find a way to keep ourselves healthy. And it's on us all. It's on us each of, you know, to hold each other accountable and make sure we're not doing those things. And I think our veteran leaders, peer pressure, peer leadership is probably the best. And I know some of those guys spoke up on a call the other day, a Zoom call, and they did a great job of stressing to everyone on the call what we have to do this season, and we can't let our guard down. So I think we have great leadership, and, you know, I know Sean will lean on those guys to help hold each other accountable.
Thanks.
You got it.
Hey, Brandon, Thad Brown. Good to see you. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks.
Playing off what Marcel asked a little bit there, how is it different in terms of how everyone's pitching in the building? Because you're limited to 100 Tier 1, Tier 2 employees for a building that, what, 150, 160 people who are in there normally. How has it been different? How will it be different with, you know, everybody kind of having to pitch in and do a little bit more in the next few weeks?
Yeah, Thad, it is weird. You know, normally at training camp, you have all these interns, from trainer interns, equipment staff, video, football operations, coaching interns. And we had to scale all that back just because you're only allowed a sheer number of things. And some people are having to do double duty. And, you know, we have some, you know, a group of people, these protocol coordinators, that they're having to figure out every day who's going to be in that tier one, who's going to be in tier two. You know, we can have 40 in tier two in the building, but we actually have close to 60 on the list. And so we've cleared a lot of our building out from the, you know, some of the business people are in different areas or they're working remote, just to try and keep our building, you know, as clean and safe as possible. And appreciate everyone pitching in this organization, that even though I'm sure they want to be here and work in their office, but with these rules, we've had to take over some areas to create meeting rooms to try and make bigger spaces so our guys can spread out and physically distance themselves. So, you know, it is different. Everybody's having to, you know, probably pitch in and make sure we're using our resources to the best of our ability. And it may be that somebody's got to be another film guy that doesn't normally do that, or somebody's got to help. We got extra people helping in the weight room when these guys are in there wiping stuff down as these guys use it, just to keep everything as clean as possible. But we got good people, good team effort, and I know everyone is working in the right direction.
Does that include you? You have some extra chores at all? You got to clean anything?
They don't want me doing anything, but it's a group effort. We'll all pitch in, and like I said, we're going to do whatever it takes to keep everyone safe.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah, good seeing you, Thad.
You too.
Okay, hi, Brandon. Mark Gaughan here. What can you say about where it stands in terms of the salary cap and trying to extend guys who are in their last year of their contract? In a normal year, you would be working on that or having dialogue on that. What can you say, you know, maybe without specifically speaking to Matt or Deion, but those are the two prime two guys anyway. As far as the 175 floor for the 21 cap, do you think agents are going to want to wait, because that floor, you know, there's so much uncertainty that you have no control over, but new money comes in if there's new deals? Do you think that there's going to be an expectation that floor is going to be higher than 175?
Yeah, I think everyone should operate. I mean, we're going to operate that it will be 175. There's so many unknowns for this season. I mean, you know, right now, just are there going to be fans in stands and things that create revenue? Are there any new deals coming? There's so many things that we don't have the answers to. So, I'm glad that the union and the league worked out what the floor is, so we can at least plan for that. Obviously, that throws, you know, a wrench in every team's planning, because, you know, it's 198 this year, and those things have been jumping 10, 12 million every year. So prior to this COVID, you know, in our planning, we were planning that thing being close to 210 or so. So that obviously adjusts what we can and can't do. But, you know, we still want to retain our guys, and we're going to do our best to retain as many as possible. But we do have to keep an eye on what that, you know, what that salary floor currently stands. And until they tell us different, you know, that's what we have to operate with, Mark.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.